Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of Super Shell gasoline invite you to Shell Chateau, where your host is the world's outstanding entertainer, Al Jolson, with an all-star bill of famous guest stars. We switch you now to Shell Chateau, where you'll be greeted by Al Jolson.
Golden Gate, we're coming through your Shell Chateau. Says welcome to you each Saturday night. The stars you all know will shine at Shell Chateau. We bring to all you folks, you sons and daughters, that good old oil. But troubled waters going strong now, won't be long now. This is Al in Shell Chateau. Thank you, folks, thank you. And right off the bat, I want to tell you tonight, we have another great show here in Shell Chateau. Just listen. For drama, that internationally famous actor who is now one of Hollywood's most popular stars, Mr. Herbert Marshall. For comedy, a young lady who's been a sensation on the radio, Miss Helen Troy. From the world of sport, a master of the dangerous art of ski jumping, Ivan Nelson. And for music, well, folks, we certainly have plenty of music for you tonight. Besides a song from Jack Stanton and Peggy Gardner, we have one of the most famous band leaders in the entire world. And he's here tonight with all his boys, Mr. Cab Calloway. Wait a minute, folks. You ain't heard nothing yet. Ladies and gentlemen, who else have we got? You've guessed it. You don't think for a minute we wouldn't have Victor Young. Yes, sir, Victor Young and his orchestra, they're all here with us, too. Come on down, Victor, and give the ladies a treat.
Al, but why don't you pick on one of the other boys in the band for a change?
Don't mind me, Vic. It's all in fun. We're here to get laughs. Whether I get them with you or one of the other boys, it's immaterial.
Immaterial? What does that mean?
Look, I'll give you an illustration. If I walked along the street and got killed, it wouldn't make any difference to me how I got killed.
It wouldn't make any difference to me either.
Wait a minute, Victor. I'm the comedian here.
That's what you think.
Oh, a wise guy, eh? Listen, if you weren't so little, I'd punch you in the nose.
If you weren't so big, I'd punch you in the nose.
All right, let's stop kidding, Vic. Is everybody in your family little?
Yes, it runs in the family. Would you believe it, Al? When my father was born, he only weighed 3 pounds.
Did he live?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, you see, my father left home 2 days before I was born.
Oh, he must have known you were coming.
And what a struggle it's been ever since. You don't know how I suffered to learn to play the violin.
What an answer I've got. And now everybody is suffering.
It's immaterial to me.
What have you got on your hair, Crisco? Listen, Vic, let me explain something to you. Immaterial, as I said before, if I walked along the street and got killed, whether I got hit by an automobile or was struck by lightning or a big sign fell on me, that wouldn't matter. You see, it would be immaterial. Vic, look. Now do you know what immaterial means?
Sure. If you get killed, it's immaterial.
Get away from... Ladies and gentlemen, I know Victor is getting to talk more like Rubinoff every day. I don't know if Victor Young may not understand English or not, but he certainly knows his music. You see, he's a musician at heart. Night and day, Vic has nothing but music on his mind. Well, to give you an idea how musical Victor is, only this afternoon, he went up to a restaurant. And the minute he started eating his soup, 8 couples got up and danced. And now, ladies and gentlemen, another crazy song entitled Wahoo. Way out west, where men are men, And women are very sweet. That's where I want to be. That's where I'm going to be. Way out west, just once again, where happiness is complete. There's just one thing I miss, and it is this. Oh, give me a horse, a great big horse, and give me a buckaroo, and let me wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Give me a ranch, a big pair of pants, and give me a Stetson too, and let me wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Give me the wide open spaces, for I'm just like a prairie flower, growing wilder every hour. Oh, give me a moon, a prairie moon, and give me a gal what's true, and let me wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Give me the plains, a pair of reins, and my boots and saddle too, and let me wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Oh, let me get at a lariat as the steer comes into view, and let me wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Give me the wide open spaces. Each time I see a sawdust bar, I wanna be a way out there. Oh, show me the pal who steal my gal and hand me my 32, and let me wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Oh, I never could sing a high-class thing. Good music I never knew, but I can wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Oh, I never could dance, 'cause when I dance, I ruin the lady's shoe. But I can wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Give me the wide open spaces, where I can press the first bell down and play some music goes round and round. Oh, I never could speak a word of Greek. Barkyakakis I never knew, but I can wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had all kinds of champions here in Shell Chateau, but we've never had any representative of any of the great winter sports. We've had ball players, golfers, tennis players, but tonight we have a cold weather champion with us, a ski jumper. He has held the Western Canadian Ski Jumping Championship and the International Championship, and tonight he's going to tell us a little about ski jumping. Here he is in Shell Chateau, Ivan Nelson. Hello, Al. Hello, Ivan. Ivan, what I want to know tonight is this. How does a guy get to be a ski jumper?
Well, that's kind of a tough question, Al. Maybe it's because I was born in Norway.
A Norwegian? Well, shake hands with a Swede. In case you don't know it, my right name is Asa Jolson. Svenska Anechtiken Tug. Now, brother, we're both a couple of Scandinavians.
You mean Scandinavians?
Scandinavians, Scandinavians. What's the difference as long as your underwear don't itch? But no kidding. Ivan, tell me something. Did you learn to ski back in Norway?
I learned when I was just a kid in Norway, but I didn't get serious about it until I moved to Canada.
Well, I've seen ski jumpers in the newsreels, and what I can't understand is this. They shoot way up in the air, and they sail along about 200 feet, and sometimes they fall down when they land. Now, tell me something. Why don't they get hurt?
Oh, it isn't as bad as it looks, Al. If you landed flat on the ground, you'd break a leg, all right.
Oh, breaking a leg is nothing.
But you don't land flat. You land on the slope and keep on falling.
I get it. You mean like jumping off a freight car. You land running.
Sure.
Oh, you've been jumping off a freight car,
yeah? Yeah, I worked on the railroad.
You worked on the railroad. All right, all right. Now, suppose you tell the folks here what it really feels like when you're going to make a big jump.
You mean what I feel like?
Yeah, what you feel like,
well,
not me.
I feel nervous.
Like you mean like you are right now?
Yes. You know, when you're way up in the top of a slide and it's pretty high, you know that in a few seconds you'll be traveling 90 miles an hour.
90 miles an hour?
That's right.
Boy, you must be streamlined.
If I was streamlined, I'd do better. Well, anyway, you stand up there and look down the hill, and then you begin to worry about your skis. You make sure they're good and tight, so you make sure your ski straps are okay.
Yeah?
And then you shove off.
Oh, you shove off, do you? See it, old fellow. How far do you go before you jump?
Oh, a few hundred feet. It only takes 3 or 4 seconds, and then you're in the air.
You're in the air, huh? Then what do you worry about?
You worry about keeping your body in the best position to get the most distance.
Mm-hmm.
You're really almost flying because you have to use your body as kind of a plane and take advantage of the wind if you can. But, of course, don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't worry at all. You know why? Because I wouldn't be there.
Well, anyway, before you know it, you're back on the ground.
On your feet?
Oh, that's very good.
What about you, Ivan? Listen, do you take spills often?
Sure, I do. That's part of the game. In fact, there's a real technique for taking spills.
Oh, you got to be technical for that, too, huh?
Oh, yes. If you roll up in a ball, you can easily break a leg.
Yeah.
But if you stand straight out and relax, you just get a face full of snow.
A face full of snow? Is that considered good? But look, Ivan, what I'd like to ask you is this. What advice would you give all the youngsters that got skis for Christmas this year if they want to learn to be really good?
Well, I'd say the first thing to learn is to ski properly on the level. Take the hills later. Remember to fasten your skis on securely. A loose ski can be mighty dangerous. Use your poles. They can save you from many a spill if you know how to use them. And above all, when you ski down a hill, don't take off your skis and walk up again. Learn to ski up the hills, too.
Oh, learn to ski up the hills, too. That's great, Ivan. But look, answer me one thing. What about jumping?
You shouldn't try jumping until you're doing pretty well on the ground. But you do get it jumping. It's really the greatest thrill in the world.
Yeah? Well, listen. Did you ever drive a golf ball 250 yards from the tee and find your ball about a foot and a half from the cup? Well, look, Ivan, that's the winter sport for me.
That's great if you can do it, Al.
Who said I can do it? Well, anyway, Ivan, you come and play golf with me sometime. And you know what? I'll let Eddie Kander go skiing with you. Ivan, thanks for coming up, and I hope you win all the ski jumping championships in any one that you enter. Goodbye, old boy. I'm glad to have you. Right.
We present a little family scene that points out an important fact many people don't realize. Ruth has just come back from taking Uncle Henry to the station. There was barely enough time. The whole family is asking, did Uncle Henry make his train?
Sure he made it. But what a trip. Uncle Henry made me so nervous. He took his watch out just as soon as we got out of the drive. Every few seconds, he'd look at that watch as much as to say, can't you make a little better time? Every second we were standing still seemed like a year. Why, I had no idea we could do so much stopping and starting and driving around town. A red light every couple of blocks, then a streetcar in front of you, and then a truck. I'll bet I had to stop and start a dozen times just driving to the station.
Actually, more than 4 out of every 5 miles you drive are stop and go. And some gasolines are not adapted to this kind of driving. With them, you can use up enough gasoline shifting through the gears just 3 times to carry you a whole mile. But now you can cut down this waste by using Super Shell. It's the first gasoline specially made for stop and go driving. Super Shell is balanced. It's efficient for starting and accelerating, as well as for long, steady driving. Try some soon. You'll see you don't have to buy gas so often when you get Super Shell.
Now, we're going to hear from Jack Stan and Peggy Gardner, singing one of Noel Coward's most popular songs, Someday I'll Find You, from Private Lives.
Smile, a little smile, a little one.
In Shell Chateau tonight, we have a comedian that I know you're going to like, Helen Troy. But first, I want to tell you something about Helen. They were looking for a comedian over on the 20th Century Fox lot. They heard Helen Troy on the air and signed her without a test. Well, she made such a big hit that they gave her a featured part in a picture. And so you'll see her soon in that picture Song and Dance Man. But right now, she's here in Shell Chateau as Susie, the telephone girl.
Bernstein, Blotto and Company. Oh, hello, Wolf. Well, I was just going to call you. Say, where was you last Sunday? I spent four nickels in the slug trying to get you from a smelly telephone booth. Huh? Oh, you was all out and come back all in? Oh. Well, you know what I done? I met the nicest guy yesterday. I picked him up. We got acquainted at the zoo. Yeah. I went out to look over the animals and met a feller. Ain't it romantic? He was sitting on his pallet painting a canvas with an easel or whatever they might have called those things. Oh, honesty's grand. I seen him sitting there painting, and I peeked over them broad shoulders and seen he was handsome, and you know what I done? Honest, I'm the worst ever, Opal. Sometimes I think I'm dispossessed and got a devil in me that says the brazenest things with my tongue. I taps him on the shoulder, and I says, does it bother you to have me breathing down your neck? And he looks around at me with his sad, sunken eyes that rouse the mother in me and says back, not at all, not at all. It gives me ideas. So you see, Opal, already I'm his inspiration. Uh-huh. He showed me what he was painting and explained what it was. He's calling it an ostrich in repose, which means that it's just a picture of an ostrich sitting down on its big naked legs looking back at his small feet and pin feathers. Yeah, and you know what he's going to do? He's giving up the ostrich to paint me. He says I got more to offer than the other bird. Bernstein, Blotto and Company, who's calling? Well, just a minute, Mr. Brokenflat. I'll see if Mr. Bernstein's in. Hello, Mr. Bernstein. Are you into your brother-in-law? All righty, Mr. Bernstein, but I thought I'd ask. Hello, Mr. Brokenflat. Mr. Bernstein ain't in. He's went for the day. All righty. Hello, Walpole. Well, me and my artist friend walked around together and looked at all the baby animals. And Opal, we seen the strangest thing with beady eyes. I'd have swore it was your old man if I hadn't known he was in jail. Huh? No, it wasn't no monkey. As for them dirty things, I got nothing to say. Oh, listen, and also... Huh? Did I have a terrible experience this noon? Yeah, I was going up on the roof to eat my lunch, and I hoped to turn into a hunk of hamburger if the elevator never got stuck between 12 and 1 on the 13th floor. Yeah. The elevator kid pressed the valve down, and it never went up, and it never went down, and it never went round and round. No. And there I was trapped like a trapped rat in a rat trap. Not that I'm comparing myself to no rodent, even if I was carrying a cheese sandwich in my lunchbox. Well, the elevator was empty, except for the control boy without no control, a young salesman, a foreigner, two cheese sandwiches, and a hard-boiled egg. And kiddo, that salesman was something to break out in a rash about. Yeah. As soon as I seen he was dark and good-looking, I fainted in his direction. But wouldn't you know the foreigner'd catch me instead? Yeah. So when I come to, I was gazing into the bushy face of this sheepdog. The thing that brung me to was the garlicky deck. Honest, his breath was strong enough to blow up one of them balloons that goes up to the stethoscope. Of course, I had to smile like a dying cow and act like a lady, but I swore under my breath and I said, Bernstein, Blotto and Company... Who's calling? Wilson, Willow, Winter, and Snuff. Oh, well, just a minute, please. I'll see if Mr. Bernstein's in. Hello, Mr. Bernstein. Are you into Wilson, 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 and Snuff? All righty, I'll put them on. Go ahead, boys. Mr. Bernstein, I'll talk to you. Hello, Walpole. Where was I at? Oh, yeah, stuck in an elevator with something to ride home about and something the cat drug in. Well, when I seen there wasn't nothing to do but wait till the juice come on again, I turns to Tall and Handsome and I says, would you care to join me in a cheese sandwich? And when he says back, Garbo, I only wish it was a telephone booth. Well, I knew right off he was my brand of dark beer. Yeah. So while the elevator boy was fiddling with his gadgets, me and him sets on the floor and has a picnic. Uh-huh. After we dead, I leans on his shoulder and turns on the lure. Then he takes my hand in his and wraps a look around me like an Indian blanket. And say, I'd have been his squaw without a squeal at the drop of a tomahawk. But I had to act refined. In fact, I acted so genteel and refined, I stunk. Yeah.
Well, then, just as he leans his head against mine to take a drink out of my eyes, I get the hiccups. Well, if there's anything that puts ants in romance, it's the hiccups. Honest, if I'd had a hacksaw, I'd have cut my own throat. Well, finally the juice started and we come down to earth again. I was all set to step out in a new world with a new boyfriend when the door opens and up jumps his wife. I'll say this for her, she stopped my hiccups. Oh, well, there's only one thing I'm sorry for. If I'd known he was married, I wouldn't have wasted no cheese sandwich on him. Well, so long, kiddo. Skip the gutter and don't sleep with your snowshoes on. Goodbye now. Bernstein Blount.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have something new in Shell Chateau tonight. A guest orchestra. And when we bring you a guest orchestra, you know, it's just got to be a good one. Because, hey, Vic is pretty good himself. So tonight, we have one of the greatest orchestras in this country or in any other country. Cap Calloway and his famous Heidi Ho Boys. They just finished some sensational work in the new Warner Brothers picture, The Singing Kids, that I happen to be in, too. And it's a pleasure to have them here tonight in Shell Chateau. All right, boys, cabs, go to town.
Darling, why I went so far away.
Oh, when I'm leaving your heart, I'm big leaving, you're gonna miss your
little daddy, mama, some of these days.
All right, man.
Cab, will you play something? Because I want to tell you, the way I feel now, I don't know. I want to feel a little mellow.
A little mellow?
Yeah, I don't feel mellow, and I want to get mellow. And the idea is I want you to play something for me that'll make me mellow, if you know what I mean.
Because later in the night, I'm going to get high. And before I get high, I want to get mellow.
All right, Al. We're going to play a little song which you hope you get mellow.
I'll get mellow if you play something right. What are you going to play?
Cotton.
Oh, that'll make me so mellow. One favor. Long as I've known you, I don't know, you never made me feel like I wanted to jive. I feel like jiving. Play me something so I can jive.
Yeah,
come on,
jive.
Jive. Robert Sherwood, who says it can save us some money. I'm going to listen to every word you say, Bob.
The stop-and-go driving we do nowadays is awfully hard on gasoline. Unless you're using a gasoline that's suited to it, you can waste enough on one cold start or on three quick getaways to carry you a whole mile. What you should have is a gasoline that has three kinds of power in perfect balance.
What do you mean, three kinds of power?
Speak up, my friend. Step right up and ask your question. Mr. Sherwood will answer you.
What do you mean by three kinds of power?
Well, I'll try to explain. Your car has three gears. Now, in the same way, your gasoline should have three kinds of power. First, it should have power for quick starting. But it should not be too volatile, too vaporous, because then it would give you very poor mileage. Second, your gasoline should have power for hard pulling, for getting your car under momentum on a speedy getaway, and for going up hills. The third power it should have is for steady running, for carrying you along economically on the boulevard or open road. Now, Super Shell has these three kinds of power. Power for quick starting, speedy accelerating, long steady driving. And it has these three kinds of power in just the right proportion. It's the balanced all-round gasoline you need for cutting down waste on stop-and-go driving. Why spend more than is necessary for gasoline? Why not get the economy of using Super Shell?
Well, that's just what I was thinking. I'm going to try your Super Shell right away.
That's swell. That won't make any of us mad. This is Shell Al Jolson. We're back in Shell Chateau. Tonight our guest stars are Herbert Marshall, Ivan Nelson, Helen Troy, and Cap Calloway. Of course, Victor Zwieback Young is here, too. And speaking of Victor, last night, I was walking along Hollywood Boulevard with him, and we ran into a couple of fellows who had evidently been out celebrating. One of them was a great big fellow, and the other was a little fellow. And the big fellow was dragging the little fellow along by the coat collar. The little fellow was fighting to get loose. And Victor, with the red blood in him, just couldn't stand it. He rushed up to the big fellow and said, "Hey, you big bully, what's the idea of dragging that little fellow after you like that? Why don't you let go of him?" Well, the big stew looked at Victor and said, "Let go of him? I can't let go of him, or he'd follow me." Well, sir, tonight Victor has a new kind of medley, a medley of hillbilly tunes. and he's going to play them for you as only a natural-born hillbilly can. Shell out, Snuffy, you bodacious hillbilly. In honor of a very fine fellow and a great artist, Cab Calloway, I'd like to sing a song that I first heard in New York's famous Cotton Club when Cab was playing there. I think it's really one of the finest songs in the last 10 years. And I hope you'll agree with me. The title, I Can't Give You Anything But Love. Not since I've been out to the racetrack. I can't give you anything but love. Baby, that's the only thing I've plenty of. Baby, dream a while, we're sure to find happiness, and I guess all those things you always pine for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking well, baby. Diamond bracelets, Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love. I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've plenty of, baby. Dream a while, we're sure to find happiness, and I guess all those things you've always pined for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets, Woolworth doesn't sell, baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to present one of the finest actors of the stage or screen. For years, he's been popular in London and New York. And now he's becoming one of Hollywood's favorite stars. You've seen him in great pictures like The Dark Angel, Accent on Youth. His name, Herbert Marshall. And in just a moment, he will appear in a scene from the famous play, Interference. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome Herbert Marshall to Shell Chateau, and here he is, Herbert Marshall. May I now take a moment or two in setting the scene for the play, Interference. One of Herbert Marshall's first stage appearances was in support of Sir Gerald Dumouriez in the play Interference. Tonight, Mr. Marshall appears in the leading part of this play, Dumouriez's original role, that of Sir John Marley. Marley, an eminent British surgeon, has been receiving mysterious blank postcards through the mail. He discovers that these postcards are being sent by a woman who is blackmailing his wife. Lady Marley's first husband was thought to have been killed during the war, but he was not. A fact which technically makes Lady Marley guilty of bigamy. Knowing that his social and professional careers would be ruined if this were known, Sir John goes to the blackmailer, Deborah Kane, played by Margaret Brayton.
Kane, may I come in? My name's Dr. Marley. Sir John Marley.
Oh.
You've heard of me through my wife. Besides, we're old correspondents. Those blank postcards, you know.
Yes. It doesn't explain how you heard of me.
Oh, surely.
But your wife would never have told you about me.
Oh, lots of information gets around. Doesn't matter how. But what matters is to keep that information within decent limits.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Splendid.
I can't quite see why you're here.
What a very charming place you've got here.
Did you come here to tell me that?
Oh, no, no. I came here because you're blackmailing my wife.
Your wife? Did you say blackmailing?
Why not?
I can think of reasons why it would pay you to be polite to me.
Well, so can I. But I can see no reason why we shouldn't be truthful with one another.
You're a disciple of truth.
I have to be. In my profession.
The patient. But not about yourself.
I mean to be disarmingly truthful about myself.
To the world?
No. To you.
I see the difference.
Miss Kane, you have some letters written by my wife some years ago to a man named Philip Vose.
Yes. Yes, her first husband. You know, of course, he's alive. And your wife is guilty of bigamy.
Some might say so. I want those letters, please.
I'm afraid they're rather expensive.
I'm sure they are. I don't propose to pay for them.
Then what?
I want you to give them to me.
Well, that seems simple.
And when you've handed them over, we'll have a nice little bonfire in the grate. And then I'm going to try and persuade you to hold your tongue.
What a man.
Only let's be quick, shall we? I have a dinner engagement. I don't want to keep my host waiting.
You're treating me as if I were a child.
Well, revenge is rather a childish occupation, don't you think? And as a rule, most unprofitable.
Sir Don Marley, aren't you forgetting I have your career in my hands?
As I have yours, Miss Kane?
Yes, if you care to go to the police. But I don't think you will.
No, I don't propose to go to the police.
No. Exposure wouldn't suit you.
Frankly, not at all.
So that lets me out.
Going to the police is not the only way of making people uncomfortable, is it?
I don't follow.
You've made my wife desperately unhappy without going to the police.
Oh, I see.
What you can do, I can do in my own fashion.
You don't propose to send me blank postcards, do you? I expect you wondered what they were all about.
I did for a time. I suppose you thought the arrival of those blank postcards would bring my wife up to scratch. It's a dangerous thing to play on a woman's nerves in that way.
You think my nerves have never been played on?
Well, everything points to it.
Your wife broke my heart.
No, that isn't true. A man's inconstancy may have broken your heart. My wife had nothing to do with it. Your quarrel is with Mr. Philip Vose, not with her.
Through her, I lost the one man I cared tuppence for. They were only together 3 months. But the thought of her stuck in his mind, and there was no way back for me. When I wrote, he replied by sending me her letters. The one good turn he did me or any other woman. I've stuck to those letters tight. Now I've a chance to use them, to make her suffer as I suffered.
Do other people's sufferings mitigate your own?
I've got the chance I've been waiting for.
A chance to do what?
To get my own back.
But, my dear woman, is an action that materially affects my career yours to take?
Yes.
That's where I beg to differ. It's no use appealing to your generosity.
You're not so foolish as to expect it.
No, there's no reason why one should be generous in this world. There's no reason why anyone should do anything except just live. And at times it's hard to find a suitable reason even for that. Still, it is common sense to avoid trouble when we can.
Is that what you're trying to do?
It's what I'm going to do. In spite of everything.
I see.
Yes.
In spite of me, for instance.
Yes. Now, Miss Kane, aren't you overestimating the value of those letters? However much my wife may have paid you for them in advance...
I don't think so.
Blackmail. To be successful depends on leaving no traces. You seem to have overlooked that. Those blank postcards you sent to me and the money you extorted from my wife would send you to penal servitude for 5 years. That's a big price to pay for getting one's own back.
You can't use that evidence without exposing yourself.
That's perfectly true. We neither of us can afford to do that.
I don't think I stand in much danger from the law.
Not from the law alone, Miss Kane, but there is such a thing as the unwritten law to be considered.
Unwritten law?
You are interfering with me and with the happiness of the woman I love. And I'm going to put a stop to that interference. Permanently.
You're trying to frighten me. I'm not easily scared.
I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm merely telling you what I'm going to do.
To get rid of me?
Yes. Oh, there are plenty of ways of doing what I may have to do. A bunch of flowers sold at the street corner. Some stranger pressing up against you in a crowded shop. A slightly bitter taste in your... Well, you understand?
If I had a little less experience of men, I might take you seriously.
If you had a little more experience of me, you would.
I don't understand.
You will?
I've got my arm.
You know what this is?
Oh, no, this...
Yes, it's a hypodermic needle. Quite painless, I might add. And very effective.
What are you going to do?
What do you think? Now, we'll just place this needle against your arm.
Stop! What do you want to do? Kill me?
There'll be no need for that if you'll just turn those letters over to me.
All right. All right, anything. Only take that needle away. Take it away. They're in the top drawer of that desk. Four of them. I'll get them for you.
Now, wait. I'd rather get them myself, if you don't mind. And if you remember, there are six. You see, I want to be sure I get them all. There. Now my business is done. And I'm already very late for my dinner engagement.
I'll have you arrested for attempted murder.
No, I shouldn't do that, Miss Kane. You see, there doesn't happen to be anything in this hypodermic needle. Good evening.
We present the business manager of Shell Chateau, our old friend Bob Sherwood.
Thank you, Al. As you all know, we have no cover charge here at Shell Chateau. You're more than welcome to come and enjoy yourselves. In return, we merely ask you to have an open mind about our gasoline. Just give us a chance to prove you can save money by using Super Shell. Give this new type gasoline a trial in your automobile. Use it a week, 2 weeks, or a month, as long as you need to compare it fairly with any other gasoline you've ever used. You'll say, well, this seems to be a good gasoline, all right. Makes the car start fast, even in cold weather. And it certainly gives me a quick getaway and speedy pickup. But besides making your car behave as it should, we want you to observe how much farther Super Shell goes, how much longer a tank full of it lasts. You see, Super Shell is the first gasoline specially made for stop-and-go driving, the kind of driving we all do nowadays more than 80% of the time. It's balanced, economical for starting and accelerating, as well as for long, steady driving. That's why we're so sure you'll find you don't have to fill up the tank so often when you get Super Shell.
Whenever I've not been working, I've been going out to Santa Anita Racetrack. I may bet on wrong horses, but the horses have jockeys. And the jockeys wear boots. And the horses wear saddles. So why shouldn't I sing Boots and Saddles?
Take me back to my boots and saddle. Whoa, let me see that general store. Let me ride that range once more. Give me my boots and saddle. Let me ramble along the prairie. Oh, rope and steers on old Barrett with my body slim and thick. Give me my boots and saddle. Got a hankering to be with a banjo on my knee, strumming a pretty western tune. There's a gal in Cherokee, and she's waiting up on me, waiting beneath a Texas moon. take me back to my boots and saddle. Oh, 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 oh. Let me greet each blazing morn on the ranch where I was born. Oh, give me my boots and saddle.
Thank you, folks. And may I say, that's all for tonight. And I know that you'll all want to be back in Shell Chateau again Saturday night. That is next Saturday, because what a show we have for next week. Really, I'm flabbergasted when I tell you this. And for drama, a grand old lady. The grand old lady of the stage and screen, May Ropeson. That's right. Well, you can awe, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you can awe. She's marvelous. And for comedy, one of the funniest teams in vaudeville, Jack McClellan and Sarah. From the world of sports, our own Bob Swanson, the daredevil auto racing driver. For music, you all know Victor's going to be with us again. And then we shall have Jack Stan and Peggy Gardner and a little lady by the name of Jewel Hopkins, a very delightful nightclub entertainer. And do you think that's enough? No, sir. Being as Cab Calloway was such a big hit tonight, while the show was on, we got another guest band called the Onyx Club Band, direct from Broadway. And wait, another surprise. Mike Riley and Ed Farley. You say to yourself, who is Mike Riley and Ed Farley? Well, I'll tell you. They wrote that song, "The Music Goes Round and Round." Whoa, 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 whoa. Kiss me. So remember, folks, it's a date next Saturday night. And in the meantime, remember, be here. And if you need gas, drop in at your nearest Shell service station. This is Al Jolson saying from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Father. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. And the same goes for you, brothers. Thank the family every Saturday night. Thank you kindly for the letters you write. This is Aldi, your palsy Waldy. And I want to promise you, Shell Chateau will bring you guest stars. We hope they'll be the best stars. And now I'll say good night to you.